Well, friends, before we jump in this morning, as we wrap this up, this drive series, next week I am going to talk about what is a Methodist. You know, who are we as Methodist people? And if you're here this morning, you're like, well, Joe, I just go to church here. I'm not a Methodist. Well, hey, it is a good thing to know who are the people you're hanging out with, right? You got to figure out whether they're good company. So next week we're going to talk about what is a Methodist? What does a Methodist look like? Not what is a, you know, what does it look like to go to a Methodist church, but what is a Methodist? And we're going to look a little bit at John Wesley and that early Methodist movement and talk about some of those historical things that happened long, long ago and why we are still rooted in that today. So we're going to talk about those things next week. Now, before we jump in today, I want to remind you that your prayer list is on the other side of the questions. The other thing I needed to let you know in the week five questions, and you should take those home and go over those. It's better to discuss them with somebody if you get a chance to do that. That works out better. But I need to let you know that, one, that my numbers are completely out of order. So if you get in there and you go, okay, there is a 4, 5, and 6. Where is 1, 2, and 3? That's my fault, not Sherry's. The other thing I need to let you know is it says 6 factors on question 4 there, when we're going to kind of, I didn't name all 6 factors in there. So you're just going to have to take really good notes today and bear with that. Several years ago, whenever I was in college, I was a pizza delivery driver. And if you've never done that, that is a great gig. Just to let you know, it pays well and it's fun driving in your car. And while I was doing that in college one day, and when you're in college, you work multiple jobs because you can. It's just you and you're needing to make money and pay for college and do different things. And I was out on a delivery run. The other problem with pizza delivery is this, or any sort of fast food is you get unlimited soda. And you drink, I mean, who knows how much Dr. Pepper I drank and why I'm not diabetic today. But one day I was driving and I was out on a delivery and I had 3 deliveries with me. I was driving in Springfield and I pull, as I got closer to an intersection, I had a moment where I could not remember what I was supposed to be doing. And I decided to pull into a parking lot so I could at least pause a minute and figure out what I was supposed to be doing. And while I was in this parking lot, I had a moment where I blacked out in this parking lot. And I sat there, and I sat there trying to figure out what it was that was sitting next to me in the seat and what I needed to do about it. And eventually, though, things came back to me, and I realized, okay, Joe, you're a pizza delivery driver, and these are pizzas that need to be delivered. But it scared me. I mean, I thought, man, am I having a stroke? I'm young. I think I'm too young for a stroke, but something's going on. And so I decided I needed to go to the doctor, which, if you're a man, you tend to avoid the doctor. Can I get a witness, right? And so I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me that, I mean, they did every test known to man. And the doctor said, you know, there is really nothing wrong with you. But what is your life like? Are you getting exercise? Where do you work? And I said, well, I work at a pizza restaurant. And the doctor said, well, how much soda do you drink? And what do you do? And how do you treat your body? Since you work at a fast food restaurant, you probably eat on the go a lot. And I said, I eat on the go all the time. That's how I live. But the doctor told me, Joe, there's nothing wrong with you, but chances are your body is telling you there is something wrong with the way you live. So you need to start getting some exercise, and you need to probably cut back on all the soda that you drink, because I know you get free refills there, but back off some things. But it made me all of a sudden decide I needed to pay attention to what was going on in my life. And fortunately, my body had given me a warning. And I was reminded that you and I are stewards of our bodies, that life is a gift to be embraced and celebrated with maximum use, that our lives matter, and who we are matters, and where we're going in life matters. And young people, you guys need to get this now. I mean, I am thankful that my children do not drink the amount of soda that I drank in my teens. And I'm wondering why in the world anybody ever thought that was a good idea to kind of let me do that. And I think my children make healthier choices than I made as a young person. But life is a gift, And we need to pay attention to it and embrace it and live to the fullest. When Jesus says in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it to the full, he means we need to live as stewards of this full life that God has promised us. And life is unique, but what is it that makes life unique? What is it that makes who we are unique? And to answer that question, I need to take you to Genesis. Because in Genesis, we are informed that God formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And man came alive, a living soul. What makes you and I unique is God's breath within us. In the Hebrew, as you read, I know you're not excited about Hebrew. Of course I am, because I took 4 semesters of it. But in the Hebrew, the name Adam is the same word for dirt. And you would actually pronounce it in the Hebrew as Adam. That's how you would say it. And all of the elements of dirt are within humanity. That's how we are made. But what makes you and I unique is the mysterious breath of God that brings life to you and I. It's that mysterious essence of human life. And it's why everyone matters to God. Because if all of us are created in God's image, all of us matter. That's why. That's why we struggle with a number of things. I mean, that's why I struggle with abortion. That's why I struggle with euthanasia. That's why I struggle with capital punishment. That's why I struggle with war and famine. That's why I struggle with racism and oppression. Because these things attack the image of God within us. That's why whenever we talk about sending bombs to another country, all that runs through my head is, those are people created in the image of God. And those are the things that you and I should wrestle with. Is that in our world, since all of us are created in the image of God, everybody you've ever been eyeball to eyeball was created in the image of God. Everybody you like, everybody you don't like was created in the image of God. And that's why whenever we talk about who we are as humans, that whenever we use words like them or they, we need to replace those words with we and us, because we live on a shared planet as a shared group of people. And since every human contains the breath of God that brings life, in God's eyes, every human has value. Everyone has value in God's eyes. And as a follower of Jesus, no matter what your ability or your disability, your body is the dwelling place of God. And Paul talks to this mystery of you and I being the dwelling place of God. And he says this. He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies because you're valuable. The Spirit lives within you. And it's tempting sometimes to separate what we eat and how we exercise from our commitments to God. But those things are also a part of who we are. We've been purchased mind, body, and spirit with the redemptive work of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so making healthy choices is a part of who you and I are as followers of Jesus. Because I don't know about you, but I would like to hang out with my grandchildren one day. And I would like to be healthy to do that. Several years ago, I had a hip replacement surgery, and the doctor kept on trying to talk me out of it. And he said, well, Joe, you're just way too young to have hip replacement surgery. And I said, but here's the problem. I need a hip replacement surgery because I'd like to have children. And I would like to throw a football with my kids, or I would like to play sports with my kids. I don't want to be an old, decrepit man that cannot get up and down the yard. So I need to have this hip replacement surgery if I want to live a full life with my kids. And so I want to live a full life with my grandkids. And if I want to do that, I've got to pay attention to the way I treat my body and making healthy choices. In Romans 12:1, we're reminded, I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, He says, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about diet and exercise and the way we treat our bodies. Now, if you go to any kind of pastoral gathering, I'm just going to say this. I realize we're recording this. But if you go to any pastoral gathering, I mean, I am wondering if the sin of gluttony is something nobody talks about, right? Because, I mean, I'm skinny, right? I mean, everybody's like, oh, Joe, you're skinny, so I guess it's okay. But we all know, as Helen knows, I am the laziest skinny person on the planet. I mean, I am going to sit down and watch football today, and it's going to be great. But if we pay attention to those things that we put in our bodies, we remember that God is the one who owns our bodies. It's God that has given us life. Therefore, we want to honor God with their care so that we can be around and so we can have longevity of life. The Holy Spirit wants to work through your body and my body. And if I'm going to do the good works God has called me to, then I need to be healthy to have the energy to do it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a tired old man. I want to be someone who's got some energy and some vitality as I go into those day-to-day lives, or day-to-day life. And salvation is a holiness and a giving ourselves to God for His use. Now, has anybody ever used somebody else's car or truck? You ever done that? Anybody ever borrowed somebody's vehicle? Now, whenever I borrow somebody's vehicle, I take care of that vehicle better than I take care of my own. Anybody else, right? I mean, when I return it, it's got more gas in it than when I picked it up. Now, you young people who've ever borrowed your parents' car, this is what you should do, okay? But when I borrow somebody's pickup to move something, I make sure it is in great shape. I'm a little more careful with it. I don't pull out in front of traffic that I should not pull out in front of, right? I mean, I don't floor the gas and go peel around a corner because I'm being a good steward of their vehicle. Well, you and I are stewards of the gifts of God and what He has given us. And how we age depends on how we take care of our bodies. And when we're healthy, we have energy. And unfortunately, our lives can be affected by our life choices. So if we want to have energy and longevity, if we want to have energy, joy, and fulfillment in this life, what I want to do is I want to give you like 6 factors that you and I need to think about. I think you ought to write these down. So here they are. Number 1, attitude. How is your attitude? Did you know that people who pray during an illness accelerate their recovery? But on the other side of that, having road rage will cause problems. That if you're angry about people who are driving, or if you're stewing about a coworker and you're constantly complaining on Facebook, guess what? That can also impact your health negatively. Stress has a strong negative impact on how long you live. Now, nutrition and exercise play a role in that, but how you handle stress also affects your attitude. Number 2, relationships. People with healthy relationships tend to live more satisfying lives. Did you know that even someone who lives alone, if they have a pet, that their life is a better quality life because they have a pet to live with them? The 3rd is genes. Now, though our genetics may carry problems, and for a lot of us, our genetics carry heart disease, we can also make a difference in that by eating healthy, paying attention to how we exercise and what we do. Mental activity. Some parts of our brain continue to grow if we exercise our brains and use them. And we need to continue to learn new things if we're going to keep our minds healthy. And then finally, exercise and diet. So there's kind of 6 there. I just combined exercise and diet. Now, for those of us who like to run, I don't like to run. I will run in basketball, and that's fine, but I'll run if you're chasing me. I hate running. I mean, the last time I ran, I was praying, Jesus, could you come today? I mean, right now. Right now would be great before I make it back to the house. I'm done. For those of you who like to run, I mean, praise God for you people who like to run. for me, I know Brett likes to bike. I bike because I don't like to run, right? But exercise helps our bodies, and it's good for our bodies. And so whatever you need to do to start exercising, start somewhere. Start with something small. And diet is one of those things that can have all kinds of effects. I've tried to start having less caffeine in my life because I love Dr. Pepper, and I don't know if you've ever looked for caffeine-free Dr. Pepper on Amazon, but I think they want like $30 for that. But I've tried to take some caffeine out of my life, tried to drink a little more decaf coffee. I know Ken does not like decaf coffee at all. He thinks that's a waste of time. But taking some of those things out of our lives so that we might have energy is a plus, is a win. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to finish on this. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, Paul says this. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore," and here's where he talks about himself, "therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And basically, what he's saying is this. Here's what Paul's saying. If I'm going to be a witness for Jesus, if I'm going to point other people to God, then I have to begin with me and start with me and be a good steward myself. So my encouragement to you and my encouragement to me is this, is that we start somewhere. Pick something and start somewhere. Whether that's eating healthy, start by eating more healthy and paying attention to those things you eat. If it's exercise, start with some form of exercise, but begin doing something to change. Because I don't know about you, but I want to have energy and I want to live to the fullest, and I cannot have energy and live to the fullest if I'm not paying attention to the ways that I treat my body. Now, we've called this series Drive. D for devotion, R, readiness for lifelong learning, I for investing in lifelong relationships, V for visioning for the future, and E, exercise and eating for life. So in the back, in case you did not get a car, mine sits on my desk to remind me of these five things. So if you didn't get one, they're in the back. Grab one today and use that as a reminder of here are the things that I can use to gain momentum in my life and create a life worth living.